the back of their first victory of the season yesterday, the Fremantle Donkers climbing over the Crows up on the Gold Coast, and the Freo footy boss, a familiar voice to us here on the ABC, Peter Bell, joins us on Corbin and Ben on ABC Grandstand. G'day, Belly.
Hello, Corbin and Ben.
Congratulations on the victory yesterday. How did you do it against the Crows?
Yeah, look, it was a tough game. Both clubs have been under a lot of pressure, clearly, without having a win for the season so far. So it was important that we started well, which I think we did. Clearly, both teams were turning the ball over quite a bit through the middle portion of the game. And then I thought that we finished off the game well and had a really good last quarter, which was great to get our first win in the season.
Your coach, Justin Longmuir, saluting, obviously, for the first time. Your coach, Justin Longmuir, winning for the first time as well, obviously, in his coaching career. But he spoke earlier this morning about the return of Nat Fyfe, who's missed only one game, but there's a chance the two-time Brownlow medal-winning champ could be back as soon as this weekend.
Yeah, there's a strong possibility that Nat will be back this week. It was a really minor hamstring, right at the minor end of the scale, and almost immediately he was pushing to return a bit sooner than what was initially indicated. There's a lot to complete yet. He's got to get through the next couple of days, but at this stage he'll test it tomorrow and ahead of a main training session on Thursday as well. But he's got full strength in the hamstring. He's running really strongly as well, so he's a strong possibility of playing.
Peter, I'm sure one of the things that would have pleased you the most, as well as the coaching staff, was the addition by subtraction. I mean, you take out Nathan Fyfe, and yet it's young Andy Brayshaw, it's Adam Scherer, who has his highest possession game of the season. Darcy Tucker stands up, kicks an important goal late, and Griffin Logue down back has his best game at AFL level. So Nat Fyfe goes out, but everyone else elevates and picks up the slack.
Yeah, it's probably been a burden for Nathan and Michael Walters. You know, they've played huge parts in a lot of our victories in recent times, and Sonny was pretty well held by Ben Keys in the first half, but he was instrumental in changing the energy in the second half for us, and the big mark and goal, but also some really important clearances for us. But look, they're great players, those two, but it was really pleasing to see some of those guys that you've mentioned have good games, and they're still very young men. And Chera and Brayshaw, for example, game, you know, they're up around their sort of mid-40s, and Griffin Logue, late 20s. So hopefully they can bring that sort of consistency to many more games in the future. But we know at around the age of 20, 21 for Andy and Adam and Griff a little bit older, that they're going to be really good players. We just need to give them game time and experience and help them develop. They're great characters and they train hard. So, look, the future for all of those three and a few others is really promising. We've just got to create an environment where they can be their best.
Peter, turning our attention to a broader conversation right around the competition, all of the Victorian teams have been jettisoned out of the state. They've gone into some form of hub life. You've been doing it for 5 weeks now. You've got one more week to go. What's the one main lesson you've taken from your time in the high-performance centre that you would pass on as advice to those clubs?
Yeah, it's probably a really obvious one, Ben, and that is to just maintain a positive attitude. Look, it didn't go our way up here with some narrow losses over the first few weeks, but we maintained a really positive attitude. We used it as an opportunity to get to know each other better, which I think was really important and hopefully will be important moving forward for us as well. So that would be the main thing. And obviously, there's going to be disruptions. It's not going to be normal. There's going to be obstacles, frustrations, all those types of things. But just try and take it in your stride and realise that this is for the competition to get underway, and to focus on it being a positive experience for everybody.
Is there something you'd do differently if you had your time again?
Well, probably not. We were fortunate in that we had a fair amount of time to prepare for this compared to the clubs, the Victorian clubs, who have had to move a little bit quicker, it would seem. But with that extra time, we're able to plan really well, and it's gone really smoothly.
What are your expectations when you get home? What's it going to look like when you arrive back in Perth?
Yeah, we have an early game on Saturday against St Kilda at Metricon. Then we'll just pack up what remains of our luggage. The majority of our luggage will go earlier. We'll get that out of the way so it's not to distract anybody. We want to be in the right psychological state, I suppose, on Saturday to not feel like we're distracted with getting back to Perth to play and perform really well against St Kilda. But we'll have a post game meal and then we'll be straight onto the plane on Saturday and home to WA around 9 p.m. I think, and straight into 2 weeks of quarantine, which will be an unusual experience, I suppose. But given what we've been experiencing up here on the Gold Coast, it won't be that unusual. We're fortunate to have exemptions to go and train, which will be really strict, but it'll be really about focusing on the derby.
So talk to me about the isolation or quarantine when the players return with those exemptions. So they can go to the club, they can train, but they can't stop and get a coffee on the way through to training or anything like that. Outside of training, it is strict quarantine at home. Is that right?
That's right. You're allowed to stop for fuel if you need fuel and in an emergency, I suppose. So it's very strict. We'll brief all our players and staff about that. Additionally, there'll be the added onerous conditions around the AFL protocols as well, which we'll have to manage as per how many people can be at training at the same time and whether we have to stagger groups through and all those types of things. So it's a compliance and logistical nightmare to get through it all, but our team's been doing a fantastic job, as have all the teams in the AFL. I think people would be really surprised at how much work has to go into just facilitating one training session under the AFL protocols.
What are your expectations as to how many teams are going to come over to Perth and join you? Obviously, we know what the fixture looks like with Collingwood and Geelong arriving, but after that, what have you been told?
Yeah, not much, except that we're going to be home for an extended period. What that translates to, I'm not exactly sure, but it's our understanding that a few more AFL clubs will cycle through Western Australia and look, availing themselves of the opportunity of playing in front of crowds as well, which is really exciting. Talking to some of our younger players who have made their debut this year, and certainly surreal for them. One of the players commented on how loud the fans sounded at Metricon, and I think there was only a couple of thousand people there, but he couldn't believe how loud they were. And I said, wait until you get the opportunity to play in front of a packed house at Burswood, and you'll really experience what these young men have been dreaming of for a long time.
Peter, in a former life, before you were a footy boss, you're a very good radio and TV analyst of the game of Australian rules football. Corbin and I were speaking about it earlier. With the best teams in it so far, I'm sure you've watched a lot of the games. Which teams or team has impressed you the most so far through the opening four rounds of the resumption?
Yeah, you probably don't focus too much on that, Ben. Things change in normal seasons so quickly, and this is a year that things could change really, really quickly depending on, you know, who's available to go into a hub, who's doing well as far as injuries are concerned. Look, I thought, having said all of that, I thought Port Adelaide were very good. Also Brisbane, and obviously they performed really well against the Power. But, you know, Charlie Dixon was in wonderful form when we played against Port Adelaide, and he also had a great game against West Coast. But of the teams that we've seen up close, certainly Brisbane are deserving of their spot right at the top of the ladder at the moment.
And I guess broadly on the competition as well, Bally, a lot of talk about the season having an asterisk, or the fact that it's going to be compromised in a way that it isn't ordinarily, not to say that a usual season doesn't have its fair share of compromises as well. What's your view, I guess, on the legitimacy and of the premiership overall?
Look, you're right in that there's compromises. There are lots of challenges as well. And I think for anyone actually involved in it, with the amount that you have to go through and the upheaval and the disruption and the complications and the challenges on family and all types of different things, I think that it'll be a wonderful achievement for the team that wins the premiership. Maybe history will record that it'll be looked at a little differently. But if you're living it, the challenges have been significant. So the team that wins it will have well and truly deserved it.
And just on personnel, a lot of Fremantle fans are calling for Connor Blakeley as to where is he in the lineup at the moment. Can you give us any update as to if Freo fans are likely to see him back on the park soon?
Yeah, look, he's been playing pretty well with the match sim opportunities that we've been able to have up here on the Gold Coast. Look, we are deep, I suppose, in inside midfielders at the moment. So it's really frustrating for Connor, but he's applying himself in a really positive fashion. He played quite well last week and the week before as well. And he's right in the mix for selection. He just needs to keep putting in good performances and training hard, and I'm sure his opportunity will come. We know what he can do. He's a ball winner. He's a good clearance player, and he's certainly playing to his strengths. There's a few other areas, like there are for all players, that he needs to concentrate on, but we know that when he gets his opportunity, he'll acquit himself well.
Peter, a serious one to finish. Really intrigued about you being the board man. You carry it around for Fremantle, but you don't hold it up for the players. Why is that? Is that they can't see it over the top of all of the other heads when you hold it up, or what's the go there?
Yeah, that's a little bit cheeky, Ben, but it's actually because I get a deep tricep burn and I can't hold the board above my head for too long. I've deconditioned since my playing days, and I hand it over to Tendai Mazungu, who's a lot fitter than I have. I will also admit that early in the preseason, I held up the board at one of the quarter-time huddles. Griff Logue was looking at me a bit funny, and I couldn't understand why he was gesturing to me. And turns out I had the board the wrong way up. So that was highly embarrassing. So I decided I'd turn it over to someone else who was more capable.
He probably thought he was playing full forward if it was the other way around, Belly.
Well, it was actually 90 degrees the wrong way, so it would have just made no sense at all. I was wondering why all the players were tilting their heads.
Yeah. Peter, appreciate your time as always. Well done on the win yesterday and to the whole of the Fremantle Football Club organisation. And safe travels back to Perth on Saturday.
No worries. Look forward to seeing you at the footy if we're able to.